praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. I'm just going to pray for Greg as he comes to speak God's word. Dear Lord, I just want to praise you. Praise the Lord today. Praise you for this incredible celebration that we have here. Praise you that we have the freedom to be able to read your word. Lord, I pray that you bless Greg as he comes to speak, that you give us ears to hear and hearts to know what you want to show us today. And Lord, that we leave this place changed for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pippa. I wonder if you've ever been overwhelmed in somebody's presence before. Just so magnificent were they that you could hardly speak. Now, we don't have much to celebrate in the UK in terms of sporting success. Women's semi-final, knocked out in the football. Men's World Cup semi-final last year, knocked out. But when Harry was born, what year were you born? 2003, we did win, didn't we? In the World Cup rugby. Here's Johnny Wilkinson dropping the goal to win the World Cup. It still almost brings me to tears to think about what an amazing moment that was. And about 3 months after this, England were training for the Six Nations competition, and they were training at Bath University, and I happened to be speaking at Bath University that week. And so in a break time, I went out onto the rugby pitch to watch them train. There's only about 15 of us watching the whole England squad train. And Johnny was there. It was amazing. I was watching him train, and he had a little bit of a hamstring problem, so he came off early and was going to walk back to the kind of changing room area where the physio was to get some treatment. I thought, oh, this is my opportunity to thank him for dropping the goal that won the World Cup. It was about 300 metres, so quite a long way to the facilities, the physio room. And so Johnny picks up his stuff and he's walking back, and so I come up beside him, and as I get like really probably far too close to him, I suddenly slightly overwhelmed, because you've seen him so many times on TV and yet he's right there next to me. So I didn't say anything and we kept walking 300 meters. He's kind of looking at me sideways thinking, what on earth is this guy, is he going to attack me? I mean, what's going on? And we're walking along, and I'm thinking, oh no, I've left it too long now. I can't say anything. If I start saying something now, it's going to feel really awkward. So I'm just going to have to keep walking. And we walked all the way to this physio center. And then I thought, God, I can't just not say anything to Johnny Wilkins. I said, Johnny, World Cup, thank you. And he said, you all right? I said, yeah. And then he went, that was it. That was it. My mate was over the other side of the pitch and he was watching. He said, I can't believe you got to chat to Johnny Wilkinson. I said, yeah, it was great. It was absolutely great. But the truth is, I was overwhelmed in his presence. It was Johnny Wilkinson right there next to me. Sometimes the Christian life can be a challenge. Sometimes, even as you said, Harry, you can lose sight of who God is and who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So I've chosen Psalm 103 today for you, but for all of us as well to really dive into. Because what happens in Psalm 103 is we see just the magnificence of who God is. And as we are overwhelmed in his presence, it sustains us to live for him and worship him and praise him all our days. So let's dive into it together. It starts really with David trying to get his innermost being, his soul, to praise the Lord. And to do that, he writes out all the benefits of knowing God. There's 17 in total in this psalm. 17 amazing benefits of who God is and who we are in relation to him. First, we're going to have a look at what we're like. What does this psalm tell us about what we are like? Well, have a look down. The sentences are marked with numbers. They're called verses. Look down at verse 14 and 15. It says this, "For he knows we are formed, how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." One of the stark things about this psalm is when you ask the question, what does it tell us that we are like? It says we are temporary. We are temporary. We are like flowers in the field. The wind blows and it is gone. We are temporary. This week is the second week of Wimbledon. And who's going to win the men's singles? Rafa, Roger, or Novak? Nobody knows, but it's going to be one of those three, isn't it? Pretty much. And I love Roger, so I'm hoping that Roger's going to win. And he can go anywhere, can't he? He is globally famous. Globally famous. Everybody knows who Roger Federer is. Can't walk down a street without people knowing his name. I wonder if you know who this guy is. Anybody? Oh, so some of you do. Oh, that's disappointing. John Newcombe. Most of you sit there going, who? Who is that guy? He's got a nice tash. That's all we know. Who is he? Well, John Newcombe, he won Wimbledon in 1970. So not that long ago. And yet, for most of us, who is he? Why? Because we're temporary. The wind blows and we are gone. You can be world famous one minute, and just a few years later, nobody knows who you are. So Psalm 103 says, hey, look, when you look in the mirror, when you see yourself, recognize that you're temporary. God knows how you're formed, and the wind blows and you are gone. But not only that, it says, look down at verse 10. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Not only are we temporary, but we are sinful. Sinful. That's a hard concept for us to get our heads around. What does he mean by that? Well, that each one of us has rejected God. Each one of us has turned our back on him. Each one of us lives the life we want to live, not the blueprint that God gave us to live. He made us. He made us to be in a relationship with him, in a relationship where we obey and follow him because he knows how life is to be lived. And yet every single one of us, bar none, rejects him. That's what the Bible calls sin. It's a three-letter word with I in the middle. It's all about me and not about him. So when we look at this psalm, we see that we're temporary and that we are sinful. How does God fare in this psalm? What is he like? Look at verse 1. Praise his holy name. God is holy. He is holy. Look at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The God is righteous. Our God is just. He is totally pure. Not like us. He is totally pure. But not only is he pure, did you see the amazing references in this psalm to his love? It's been a theme today, hasn't it? It's a theme of Harry's description of his walk with Jesus, that he knows Jesus' love. And in this psalm, you see it time and time again. I do a lot of traveling during the week and spend a lot of time in airport queues. And a while ago, I was in an airport queue and an enormous man was about eight people in front of me. He was like this big. This is how big he was. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger on the left, who's about 6'5" and enormous. Look at that guy. He is huge. His name's Brian Shaw. He was the strongest man in the world. Now, I'm not entirely sure whether it was Brian Shaw that I saw in the airport, but it was somebody pretty similar. He was enormous, absolutely huge. I was behind him, and he was walking along in the queue. It was in Stansted, and we were taking forever. And he kept dipping his head. And I thought, that's how he gets so big. He's just working on his muscles as he's in the queue. He's not wasting a moment of his life. He's just dipping his head, working on his traps. Until he turned the corner, and he came around the corner. And there was this enormous man dipping his head to kiss the head of a tiny baby in his arms. It's the safest baby in Stansted that day. And it was tiny in this enormous man's arms. So powerful, yet so loving. That's what we see here in God, don't we, in this psalm. He is unbelievably loving. We don't deserve it. We're temporary. He made us, but he loves us. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Abounding in love. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. So great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 4, he crowns us with love and compassion. I don't know if you ever play that game with children. You know, how much do you love me? I love you to Banbury and back. It's not particularly far, is it? With us, it kind of gets a little bit silly. I love you to the moon and back, crawling on my back, slowly. And then the next one has to try and compete and get a further distance. I love you to infinity. It's kind of where the argument ends in our family. Nobody really understands that, and it seems to win. Or I love you all the way to the end of space. That's 115 billion light years away. Isn't that what God says to us? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. We don't even know the end of our universe, and that's the point, isn't it? His love is enormous. Enormous. It is vast, as high as the heavens are above the earth. In that discussion on how much do you love me, God wins, doesn't he? He wins. He loves us more than we could possibly imagine or possibly know. And look what his love does. If you go to verse 5, he satisfies our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We look for satisfaction so many places. And the temptation for you, Harry, will be to look for satisfaction in so many different places in your life. Like you've said today, be satisfied in his love, because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. But not only does he love you, time and again in this psalm we see that he is merciful too. Though he knows we are sinful, he is merciful. Verse 3, he forgives all your sins. Verse 9, he won't always accuse, or will he harbor his anger forever? Verse 10, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And verse 12 is amazing, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west, that's never ending. So far as he removed our transgressions from us. Today we've heard Harry profess faith in Jesus Christ. How can a loving God look on a sinful man like Harry and forgive him and still be perfect and just? Because Harry deserves God's judgment. Yet Harry has come to realize that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth to die in Harry's place, and yours and mine. And that by dying in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, he pays for it, now and forever. And for Harry, putting his faith in Jesus means handing over his sin to Jesus and is nailed to the cross with him. And what does Harry receive? Well, the infinite love of God, the forgiveness of his sin. And his sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. What does that feel like? Here's my mother. She's on the beach with my youngest. My mother's only about that big. She's about just under 5 foot. And my mother loves me. I've known that all my life. She's told me that all my life. And my mother knows me as well. She knows just how rotten I can be. Probably now only second to my wife. Just how rotten I can be as a human being. And often when we go to stay with them, my family live in Jersey, the children are thrilled when Nana tells me off. There's lots of chance for Daddy to sit on the step. She's the only person with the authority to do that. And it's happened. But sometimes it's massively frustrating, isn't it, when you go home to visit your mother, you haven't lived at home for decades, and yet, oh, you always do that. No, I don't. I haven't done it for 20 years. It's only you, because you've said that, has made me do this. And you go, really? I did that when I was 13. Surely that's gone. Now, human love is always full of boundaries, isn't it? We can't love infinitely. My mother loves me as much as a mother can love a son. And yet, even with my mother, I have a track record. But Jesus pays the penalty for our sins. And our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? No track record. No track record when you belong to Jesus. You are forgiven and set free from that burden of guilt. And what else do we learn? Well, right towards the end, we see that God is in complete control. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Did you see that we are temporary? The wind blows and we're gone, but the Lord is everlasting to everlasting. That's forever. He is consistent. And verse 19 tells us he is in control. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Not just those who believe in him or agree with him, his kingdom rules overall. And Jesus will come again. He will. Now we have the opportunity to turn to him and believe in him and trust in him as Harry has done. But then we won't. Then it will be too late. He rules. And he rules in justice and in love. So Harry, what's your response to this psalm? As you read this psalm, hopefully you'll continue to read this psalm as you grow in the Lord. Well, there's four things that he mentions here for us to do in response to the psalm. The first one in verse 2 is this, to forget not. Seems simple, doesn't it? To forget not all his benefits. So the challenge for you in your Christian life is to not forget just how awesome God is, how much he loves you, that he is in total control, and that his mercy in Jesus and that alone will save and satisfy you. So the first thing is to forget not. The second thing is, and you see this in 11 and 13, twice it says it, we are to fear him. That's not to be afraid of God, but to have him in his right place, to give him the honor that is due to somebody so worthy and so magnificent. To not treat him perhaps as we do a friend or an acquaintance and disregard him or give him lip service, but to honor him in all you do verse 18. Next one is to obey him. For those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. When Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he didn't stop there. He said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Why? Because God's blueprint is the best blueprint. God's way is the best way. It is the way that leads to forgiveness. It's the way that leads to satisfaction. Because he made us and he knows what's best for us. Part of being a church family is to grow together and to learn to obey everything he commanded us. Remember me with Johnny Wilkinson, overwhelmed by his presence. It's a bit sad now, isn't it? A few decades on, it's a bit sad to be overwhelmed by Johnny Wilkinson, especially in the light of when you see just how awesome God is. We are to be overwhelmed in the presence of God by his mercy and by his love. And that is to fuel us all our lives. Do you see how it ends? Starts, praise the Lord, O my soul. But by the end, as he's listed these 17 amazing characteristics of God, David is so overwhelmed by God's presence, by who he is, that he encourages everything and everyone to praise him. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, you who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. It moves from focusing on himself to trying to encourage everything and everywhere to praise the Lord. And that's your final role, Harry, as you live with Jesus, to encourage all to praise him, as you've done today, by standing here bravely and sharing your faith with those who are here. Forget him not, fear him always, obey him diligently, and encourage all to praise his name. That's our role. I want to encourage all of you to do the same. If you don't know the love of God here today, if you haven't met this amazing God that we see in this psalm, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't disregard it. Seek him out. He's there to be found, and he wants to know you. He knows you already, even though you don't know him. And in him is an amazing life, a life of forgiveness, a life of love, a life that lasts beyond your physical body, and a life that satisfies in ways, well, that you won't even know yet, but lead to eternal life. And for those of you that do know him, remember this psalm and be encouraged. Be overwhelmed by his presence and live with him and for him this week. Let's pray together. Father, you are amazing. Your love knows no bounds. We thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us in Jesus, that in him we see you. Thank you that Harry has put his faith in you. Thank you that we too can put our faith in you and know your forgiveness and your mercy, that we can know your love and your compassion. Please help us to live with you and for you all the days of our lives until you call us home to be with you everlasting. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.